is risen. Yes, happy Easter, my friends. It is so good to be in this place together to celebrate the risen Lord. As we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Revelation chapter 1. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever, and I have the keys of death and of Hades." Do you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we've come to this place this morning to worship you. You are that one who proclaimed, "I was dead, and I am alive." And because you are alive, O Jesus, we have hope of life too. Because you hold the keys of death, the keys of destruction, the keys of everything that would hold us down and keep us from joy and peace and hope. Because you have that and you call us your own, we are a people who live by a different story. We live by a story of life, a story of overcoming, a story of victory. For you, O Jesus, are our King, and even the powers of death had no hold on you. Thank you that you're alive this morning. Thank you that your heart for us is to be alive too. And so as we sing to you, O God, as we lift up our voices in prayer, as we lean into your word, would you resurrect all the parts of our hearts once again? For the first time for some, for the millionth time for others, it matters not. Just do something new in us as we encounter you, the risen Lord, in this place. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible, you can open it to Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Would you pray with me? Now, living God, as we turn to your word, we do so because our hearts long to celebrate with the angels and with the saints. And our hearts long, O God, to encounter you anew. We want to be as Mary and Mary and run smack dab into you on the road. We want to fall at your feet and worship. We want to go where you tell us to go. And so would you awaken in us this morning all those places that need to be awakened so we can receive what you have for us in this place. With the help of your Spirit, O God, would you help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you would help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You've come here this morning to hear the most important story ever told. More than that, you've come to this place to hear about the most important real event ever recorded. More than that, you've come to connect your life to that story, to that event. For the very first time, or for the many, many, many times again and again, it matters not how well you know this story. What matters is here we are, together at the empty tomb, leaning in, knowing somewhere deep within us that this still changes everything. On that early Sunday morning, the two Marys come to the tomb. The one they loved was laid there. When they had to go home on Friday night, the one that they had hoped would save them was left lifeless in that place. The Sabbath rules kept them from being able to hold vigil on Saturday. And so just as soon as they could get there, at the crack of dawn, there they were. On Sunday, they would make sure that his death was properly grieved. They would weep as close to that dead body as they could get. They knew that ultimately it wouldn't be able to fix all that had been broken, but it's all that they knew to do. And so mourning, they came to the tomb. And then suddenly, a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord descends from heaven and he rolls back that stone that sealed the tomb and he sits on it. Don't you just love that image? An angel with his feet dangling off the stone, just like, hey, what's up, you guys? You see, for Matthew, the resurrection, it's not some sneaky little thing that happened when nobody was around. It was announced with this great earthquake. And this angel whose appearance, it says, was like lightning. The resurrection, it is a cosmic event. The very foundations of the earth are shaken by it. Heaven and earth collide because of it. Forces of nature are moved out of the way to make way for it. You see, the resurrection, it shakes everything up. The earth, the stone, and the people. Who encounter it. And this the shaking, it's scary stuff. I mean, the guards, they are totally freaked out. They shake in their boots and then they just pass out. Paralyzed for fear of seeing this whole world turned upside down before their eyes. I mean, as far as we know, their entire livelihood is about guarding tombs. Keeping dead bodies in their places. And so this resurrection business kind of puts them out of business. What do graveyard guards do in a system where dead things might not stay dead anymore? The resurrection shakes everything up. And in fear of this whole new way of living in this world, they just pass out, fall asleep. On the resurrection. And we say, how could they? But we actually know, here we are 2,000 years later, and truth is, the majority of people, even the majority of Christian people, still fall asleep when faced with this reality that Jesus Christ has resurrected, and that changes everything about life as we know it. We don't really know what all to do with that, so we just sleep it out. I pray not me. I pray not us. The resurrection, it comes like an earthquake in the lives of the Marys too. Mary and the other Mary. Don't you feel bad for the other Mary? They're afraid too. What are they scared of? I mean, they knew about this Jesus guy. What are they scared of? Well, they had been at the cross on Friday. They saw Jesus' lifeless body laid in that tomb. He was dead. And not just kind of dead. And not just maybe dead. He had suffocated and he had been stabbed in the side and the water and the blood came flowing out and the sky turned dark in the middle of the day. He was very, very dead. And when the earth quakes and the angels come down and they start saying, that one who was dead, no, he's not dead. We don't know what to do when life doesn't work the way we thought it was supposed to work anymore. You see, death is the one thing we can all agree on. Even a fourth grader knows it. We all are going to die. It is what it is. It's happening. It's the end of all of us. Death is how every story ends. It's just the way things go. It's how this system that we're part of functions. The angel declares to the Marys on this Sunday morning, guess what? The system's changed, and everything is turned upside down with it. The resurrection changes everything, because if the way the story ends is different, then everything about how the story goes until the end is different too. Resurrection changes everything. Everything about why we're here. About what we're doing in this place, about who we are, about what our entire lives are going to be about. And that's scary, especially when we've gotten pretty comfortable with life as it is. When we're pretty comfortable with just working and just paying bills and just getting to Friday and maybe enjoying a little camping trip here and there before we die. You know, it's not great, but it's good enough. The resurrection, it shakes all of that up. And it says, no, that's not what it is at all. If resurrection is real, it means that what happens here matters somewhere else. It means that what we do now has eternal implications. It means that what we're living for is bigger than just survival, and it's much bigger than ourselves. The resurrection comes like an earthquake, and it changes everything. The guards, out of fear, they fall asleep as heaven and earth collide in their midst. The Marys, scared to death too, but they lean in to that beautiful collision. And you see, we make a choice too. Every day, we make a choice too. Are heaven and earth colliding in your life? Or are you sleeping in the presence of the living God all around you? Has the resurrection of Jesus Christ come as an earthquake into your life yet? Has the truth of Jesus Christ died and risen again, turned everything about who you are and what you're doing upside down yet? What's the resurrection to do with your job? What's the resurrection to do with your family? What's the resurrection to do with your goals? Want to hear the hardest one? What's the resurrection to do with your bank account? What's the resurrection to do with how you live all of your days? Because you see, this earthquake, it tells us that this resurrection story turns everything upside down from the very depths of the earth to the depths of our very own hearts. Are we sleeping on it? Or are we shaking to life with the risen Jesus? My friends, I beg you, don't sleep on it. This is the good stuff. Don't sleep on it. You've only got one life to live. Don't sleep on it. The angel speaks to the women. Don't be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus, the angel says. I love that. I know that you're looking for Jesus. What are you looking for these days? What would your Google search history from the last couple of weeks show you're most intrigued with lately? Baylor Bear statistics, maybe? What would it show? What is a show that you want more of? How my heart longs to be found where that angel found those dear ladies. I know that you are looking for Jesus. If that same angel popped into this room right now, this morning, and walked up to each one of us, would he say, I know what you're looking for. I know what you're looking for. I know what you're looking for. It's Jesus. I know you're here this morning because you want more Jesus, because you can't get enough Jesus, because you are still in awe of Jesus. I know what you're looking for. I know you're looking for Jesus. Could he say that? The truth is, we're all spending our lives looking for something. Comfort, security, success, pleasure. Angels from heaven only show up to help us with one pursuit, and it is the only pursuit that is worthy of all of our lives. Angels show up to walk alongside those who are looking for Jesus. If you're looking for him, God will make sure that you encounter him. God's angels might step into my life on this Easter Sunday and say, Jamie, I know that you're looking for Jesus. Everything about your life says so. I know you're looking for Jesus. This resurrection earthquake, it just keeps shaking those with ears to hear, those with hearts to seek him. The angel continues, he's not here. He's been raised, just as he said. Just as he said. I love that statement too. I'm going to say it over and over. I love that. I love that because it's the best story. I love it all. Just as he said. I love that. It's like this big angelic duh. Mary and Martha, he told you about this. Duh. Guy, wherever he is, he loves it when he asks me something, and then I say, remember, I already told you. Actually, he hates it. All of us hate it. It drives us crazy when someone does that to us. We already talked about this, but not in this case. In this case, it's a beautiful, remember, he told you this would happen, and he did it just as he said. And you see why this is so beautiful. This is so beautiful because Jesus said a whole lot of things as he walked the earth. He made a whole lot of promises. So many of them seem too good to be true. He said, if you're weary, you could come find him and you could rest. And he said that the fearful could come under his wings and he would hold them. And he said he prepared a place for those who love him in his Father's house. And he said that he was living water. And if you're thirsty, you can come and drink and you don't have to thirst anymore. And he said he was bread of life. And he said that he could nourish us in our deepest places of need. And he said that sickness and darkness had no power over him or his children. And he said that one day his disciples would do greater things than he had done. And he did big things. And he said there's this real kingdom that's coming forth. And it's this kingdom where everything is made right, where all is healed and all is love and all is well. And it's this kingdom where he's the king forever. He said, he said, he said. And all these things seem too good to be true. But then Jesus started just living his life and he just kept showing that he meant all these things he said. He'd heal someone, say, see, told you. He'd cast out a demon, told you I could do that. He would cause kings to bow down. Told you I was the king. He would still the sea. Big things. Never before seen things. And he was doing them. Maybe he would do all these things he said. Maybe he could do all these things he said. But there was still the one thing. The biggest thing. The thing that no one else had done. Other people had healed some people and done some things that made it look like the elements of nature were responding to them. Other people had done that. There was still the biggest thing. he said that he would be killed and that he would raise again. And now that's where things got a little far-fetched. When Lazarus died, if you remember that story, and his sister Martha comes crying to Jesus, and he says, "Martha, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life." And she's like, "Oh, I know, Jesus. I know that someday in some kingdom somewhere, I'm going to see you there." And he's like, "No, Martha, like for real, I will resurrect from the dead in this life." You see, this resurrection stuff, it was the big thing. Because if that could happen, then everything else he said, he promised, would be a given too. And if that couldn't happen, then all those other promises were questionable now as well. He is risen just as he said. He's not here. He's no longer dead. He has defeated the final enemy, death. And that angel would proclaim all those little enemies along the way. Sickness, done, resentment, free from that, violence, pain, sadness, addiction, depression, loneliness, sin, separation from God. All of those defeated because he is risen just as he said. The most far-fetched promise Jesus made comes true. So all those smaller promises must be true too. Too good to be true, some might ask. It would be if it wasn't just totally true. He's risen just as he said. So everything he ever said about who he is and what he will do, totally true too. He is risen just as he said. Hallelujah. The truth of that, my friend, still shakes within me. You too. You too. If not, you're sleeping with those guards. Wake up, my friends. Experience it. Everything is shaking because this is true, just as he said. The angel tells the ladies to come and see the place where he lay. Come to the tomb. Check it out for yourself. He says, then go quickly and tell the others what's happened. Go to the tomb. Check it out. I love this. But don't you dare set up camp there. Don't linger, ladies. Don't hang out at the tomb. Don't start gathering your stones to make a memorial. Don't pose for a selfie. Check it out and then quickly move on. Friends, please get this. Please get this. This is good. The resurrected Jesus doesn't hang out in tombs. The second his heart began to beat, he burst out of that grave and he moved on to life. He had better things to do than sit in a tomb and wait for people to come find him there. He was on this mission to find them and to show them that love is alive. You see, too often we want to sit in the tomb and we want to just kind of wait there for Jesus to come and hang out with us. Those parts of our lives that keep us sad and defeated. We want to invite our friends to come to our tomb and look around at how bad it is and just kind of moan with us. We want to complain about the aches and the pains and about how cramped this little tomb is. And we want to talk about how we wish we could just somehow find joy and peace, but we're just stuck in this dingy old tomb called addiction. Or regret, failure, heartbreak, bitterness. What's your tomb called? Where do you hang out that keeps you from being fully alive in Jesus? On Easter morning, Jesus got out of that tomb and he vacated the entire graveyard. He moved on to go and to live. And if you're comfy in your tomb if you really just kind of like being bitter, or you just kind of like being the victim, or there's just kind of, you know, a lack of responsibility in getting to stay the addict, you can stay there, I guess. But the problem is, Jesus isn't hanging out there with you. I mean, don't get me wrong. Jesus finds us in our tombs. He does. There's that story where he goes to the tombs on purpose to free that man who's chained up there. But the second that Jesus frees him, that man leaves the tombs too. Jesus will find you in your place of struggle. He will. And he will love you there, and he will hold you there. But he doesn't have any interest in setting up camp with you in that tomb. He's interested in taking you by the hand and showing you that there is life outside of the graveyard. Go check out that tomb quickly, ladies. Go see that it's empty. All right, enough of this tomb stuff. Now get to living. Get to resurrection telling. Get to the leaping and the jumping and moving out of the graveyard, because there is a lot of life to live on the other side of the tomb. Some of us believe he's alive. Get out of the tomb. He's not there. That resurrection, it just won't leave us alone until we get shaken out of our tomb. Finally, the angel says, Jesus has gone ahead of you to Galilee. So off they went, heading home. That's their home, with great joy. Off to tell Jesus' friends that he is alive. Jesus will meet you back in your hometown, the angels promised. This Jesus raised in this place will meet you in all of your ordinary places. In fact, he's already at your home waiting for you. That's what the angel told the Marys. That's what the angel would tell us this morning too. This living Jesus, he's moved ahead into their home, into our homes. You see, everything's shaken up, turned upside down, because Jesus is risen and he's on the move and he's just waiting for us to get home. And on their way, obeying what the angel said, before they even got home, there he is. Jesus, alive, meets them on the road. Greetings, he says. Greetings. Has there ever been a more earth-shaking greetings than that? They fall at his feet, and they hold him tight, and they worship him. The very first ones to get to lay their eyes on the living Jesus, and they get this moment because they stayed awake in the presence of the holy, and because they believed what Jesus had said, and because they left the tomb, and because they were walking in obedience, doing as the angel had said. Turns out, when we stay awake to God, when we believe in the promises of Jesus, when we refuse to set up camp in our tombs, when we take a step in obedience, odds are we will encounter the living Jesus too. We will. You see, the resurrection, it's not just an event that happened. It's an event that is happening in us every moment of every day. You see, what matters today isn't so much if you believe that Jesus raised from the dead. Did you know that 87% of Americans believe that? And have you looked at our nation lately? It's kind of broken. It's kind of a mess. Turns out you can believe in the resurrection and you can live your life how you want to anyway. Unchanged, unshaken. What matters is how you're involved with the resurrected Jesus. These ladies, they encounter the resurrected one, and the entire trajectories of their lives are changed forever in that moment. Now they're missionaries, preachers, good news tellers. Now their life has a purpose that is so much bigger than themselves. Now their days are about so much more than just taking care of themselves. They've got work to do. A living Jesus is in their hometown waiting for them to get there and tell everyone to come and to see him. Don't miss him. This changes everything. There's life after death, and there's life before death too. They don't just believe in the resurrected Jesus. They're now involved with him. Their lives are turned upside down because of him. And ours must be too. For resurrection to be taken seriously, we don't just believe in it. We get involved in it. What's the resurrected Jesus to do with your life today? Do you believe in him? Like two people do. Good. That's good. But are you involved with him? That's what matters. That's what it's all about. You know, it's kind of funny that we celebrate Easter with nice dresses and fancy shoes. When that very first Easter had some ladies with their skirts hiked up above their knees, running out of a graveyard, stepping in mud puddles, frantic to tell some people that the earth had quaked and everything inside of them with it. Everything's turned upside down. Life cannot be the same as we know it. He is risen just as he said. And this changes everything out there and in here. This changes everything. My friends, as quickly as you can today, take off the fancy clothes and put on your hiking boots and your work gloves and your jogging pants, because we've got a reason to live and it's big. And we will never be the same. Never settle for life in the tomb again, because Jesus is risen just as he said. We've got more to live for. We've got more to do because Jesus is risen just as he said. And so we must rise too. Not one day, today. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, so often I believe in the resurrection, but I don't participate in it. I believe in the good news, but I don't get my hands dirty doing something about it. Thank you, oh Jesus, that you are risen just as you said, that every promise you made, you've kept it. And there's still that promise that lingers that you're coming back, that you're taking us home, that you're healing everything that's broken. We wait for that, but we don't wait for it in vain. We wait for it knowing that you have kept the biggest promise already. You overcame death. You're alive. We want to be alive in you. In heaven, yes. Thank you, Jesus. On earth, as heaven and earth collide in our lives, even more, we want that, Jesus. We already sang it, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. Let it be so today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.